Welcome to the weekly webcast. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you'll share it with a friend. Hamas launched a surprise attack from Gaza on October 7, 2023, and the majority of the people around the world were aghast at the gruesome carnage, and rightly so. But what happened next was strange as Christian Zionists unflinchingly declared their support for Israel. Moses recorded a conditional promise in Deuteronomy that was predicated upon obedience and included a promise of eviction if the Israelites embraced idolatry. God did not bring the Jews back in 1948. They brought themselves back. Ezekiel's prophecy has been misappropriated. This message will challenge what you think is true. Don't be fooled by Satan's counterfeit. Now, let's join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
I got a number of things that I want to share today. And I'm going to begin by talking about the finances of this ministry. For a long time, we've been blessed, and I have not had to say anything about finances. We've just been moving along and so on. I would say that probably about right after summer, as we had a financial downturn in the economy, I noticed this, that people that used to give $200, they cut it down to 100. And those people that gave 100, they cut it down to 50. And people that gave 50 cut it down to 25. And some people simply stopped giving altogether. Some people don't like my preaching. And particularly when I talk about hell and a lake of fire, that is very sensitive to some people, and they have told me that. They don't agree with that. And so I still got to stay with the scriptures. I cannot simply say, well, this person doesn't like me to preach out of Daniel, the book of Daniel, and they don't like me to preach on this, they don't want to preach on that. If I'm going to do that, I would come up and say, hello, goodbye, I would have nothing to say. So I cannot do that. So I can't help that. If people drop giving to us, there's nothing I can do. It's between them and God. Now, I want to talk to those of you that have been giving. I'm not talking to you right now. So those that gave in the month of November, I'm not talking to you. I want to talk to a lot of people that watch us week after week, or you go to the YouTube and watch our videos, and for some reason, you have never given any money to this ministry. How much money did we lose in the month of November? $9,000. We are down about 50% what we need to be, which meant that there is some stuff that was not being paid, and particularly salaries that we have a difficulty with. So I'm going to ask, if you are watching this ministry, you like what we are doing, and you want us to continue, would you consider today to give to this ministry? We have on our website, eaec.org, you have the PayPal. You can give via PayPal. If you don't, we don't take credit cards because we didn't set that up. If you don't want to use PayPal, you can send in a check. And we appreciate that. So I had to go today and simply say, we are hurting. And I appreciate if we can get some help. What I want to do next is, this is kind of part of the NIP, Again, I didn't have an NIP bulletin this week. I had a chance to get it going. But there are some things that are happening in the world that I want to address. So please take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Ezekiel. And we're going to go to chapter 37. That's Ezekiel chapter 37. And I'm going to start picking it up in verse number 21. Let me tell you the background now. As the war continues in Israel, between Israel and Hamas, there's a lot of people that are simply protesting and they don't like what the Israelis are doing. Then we have the church, the Christians, and they've been rallied by their pastors and evangelists and saying, we have to support Israel at any cost. Prophecies are being fulfilled right now. And we need to give, we need to pray, and we need to support Israel. I have to, this is what I'm going to have to share with you. You also heard people say, if you bless Israel, God will bless you. The Bible says, bless Israel, and God will bless you. That's not in the Bible. So this is something that's been repeated so long, so often, that people simply believe that's the way it is. But that phrase is not found in the Bible. So before we go to Ezekiel, let's go to Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to read here from chapter 12, and I'm going to pick it up in verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get you out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse him that curses you. And in you, Abraham, shall all families of the earth be blessed. God is speaking here to Abraham, who, by the way, was not a Jew. Abraham was a Chaldean. He was from part of what today would be Iraq, southern Iraq. He was a Chaldean. And God said, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, Abraham, and make you great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, Abraham, and curse him that curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Abraham was called out to be a blessing. He was going to give a bloodline for the Messiah to come, Jesus Christ. That was his purpose. He was a Gentile, a Chaldean, and he was called out to start a family that we know as Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. So, there is no place in the Bible where we are told to bless Israel. We are told to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. So there's a vast difference. Now, what I want to do now is to go to Ezekiel and chapter 37 and bring out the next point. There is no prophecy in the Bible that the Jews or the Israelites will come back in 1948. There is no prophecy in the Bible about that. Now, you might be shocked and say, are you a heretic? No, I'm not a heretic. I'm just simply sharing with you what God has spoken in His Word. If you remember now, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, Jesus spoke to Abraham, and not to Abraham, but to Moses, and said, tell the people this, if they obey me, I will bless them. If they will not obey me, I will curse them. And so you have about 12 verses of blessings in Deuteronomy 28, and you got about almost 50 verses of curses, cursing the Israel, the people of God. And here's what Jesus told them. If you deviate and you're going to worship other gods and you're going to be in idolatry, I will throw you out of the land. You will lose the land. Let me repeat that one more time. God simply said this. If you do not obey me, I will throw you out of the land. I will kick you out. Well, we now got, it took some time, and you remember Moses brought them up to the land. Joshua took them into the land. We had the time of the judges. And it was a seesawing back and forth. God will raise up a deliverer. They go back to idolatry. And they go back and forth. And then we have King Saul, King David, and King Solomon. After King Solomon died, and we are not talking about 720 before, excuse me, no. After he died, the northern kingdom was split from the south. We now had two kingdoms. About 250 years later, God said, enough. And he sent the Assyrian that came in, and they destroyed Samaria, the city of Samaria. And they took the entire nation captive and took them into Assyria. They lost the land. The 10 northern tribes never got their land back. So 200 years later after that event, the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah had prophesied, and they were simply pleading with Judah and Benjamin, please come back to God. And they noted some kings were good, some kings were bad. And finally God said in about 587, that's it. The Babylonians came, destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, took 95% of the people captive and brought them to Babylon. Notice now, God threw them out of the land. He used the Assyrian to punish the northern tribes. He used Babylon to punish the southern tribes, Judah and Benjamin. They lost the land. What about God's promises? Well, the promises of God was conditional. Read Deuteronomy 28. They were conditional. He said, you will stay in the land if you obey. If not, you will be kicked out. other people, after 70 years in Babylon, the population there, they probably had about 500,000 Jewish people that had been born over there. And then finally, Cyrus said, the King Cyrus, you can go back after 70 years. I want you now to notice this and what I'm trying to tell you. The Bible says that of the entire population of Jews in Babylon, 42,000 something came back, which is probably less than 7 or 8%. The majority of the Jews in Babylon said, well, we got full employment here. The land is great. We are prospering here. We are doing well. Jerusalem is destroyed. There's no industry there. There's nothing to go back to. And they wouldn't go back. So we had Ezra, Nehemiah, and others. But there was only 42,000 that came back. They begin to multiply, and the Jewish population in the land begin to grow. But notice now, God allowed them back in the land, but they were not allowed to have a kingdom again. The Babylonians ruled them, then the Persians ruled them, then we had Egyptians, the Syrians, the Greeks, and then Rome. They got back in the land, a few that wanted to go back, but they never had a kingdom again. About 250, 300 before Christ, we had the Maccabeans. Now, I have pretty much laid this out. I preached this series called The Origin of Jesus. 100 sermons. They're on the website. They're on YouTube. And I laid out here about the different rebellions. And the Maccabeans said, we want to kick these people out, the Romans out. They want to kick the Greeks out and the Romans out. And they wanted to establish the kingdom of Israel. It didn't go well. Because there is no prophecy that says that the Jews again will establish Israel. So they were able to, for maybe 25 years or so, to have some kind of a semi-government. And then the Maccabeans got wiped out. Now we have Jesus came, and he began to minister in Galilee, and down in Judah, and so on. And they were all expected him to establish the kingdom of Israel. Matter of fact, Pilate asked him, are you a king? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it was of this world, my people would have been fighting. But my kingdom is not of this world. Then before Jesus was crucified, Pilate said to them, who do you want me to set free, Jesus or Barabbas? They said, Barabbas. He was a murderer, convicted murderer, thief. And Pilate said, but Jesus is innocent. And the people in leadership cried with one voice, let his blood come upon us and our children. That was a big curse that they pronounced themselves. About 66, 67 A.D., there was another rebellion. the Jewish uprising, and they were able to, they had enough troops that they built up, that they took Jerusalem, and they murdered every Roman soldier. They didn't take them captive, they murdered them, slaughtered them. And, of course, this didn't go well over in Rome, that thousands of the troops had just been killed like pigs. So for about 2 years, these people ruled. And they had, again, Israel. They tried to set up a kingdom. This one we have the story of Masada, which was the last outfit that they were fighting. So Titus came. He later became an emperor. And in 70 A.D., they breached Jerusalem. And this time, the Romans were furious. I'm reading in Jewish history books. And in the history books of the Jews, they said, the Christians betrayed us in 70 A.D. They fled and left us alone to fight the Romans. Well, we do know this from records, that the Christian community at that time in Jerusalem, they had about 25, 30,000 people. They remembered Matthew chapter 24, when Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by these armies, don't get down from the housetops. Flee. Don't get back in the house. Just go. Get out. And not one Christian was killed in 70 A.D. They simply listened to the prophecy. That's a prophecy in Matthew chapter 24. Well, that has been fulfilled. But the Christian Zionists are resurrecting that, and they are applying that to is going to come in the future. The Romans now destroyed the temple. They were there for a couple of years to destroy it. And a lot of Jews were sold on the slave market in Rome, killed. But they didn't take them out of the land. About 130 A.D., there was another Bar Kokhba revolt. And this man was very successful. He said, we are going to establish the kingdom of Israel again. And there were uprisings in different parts of the Roman Empire by Jews. And the fighting continued for about a year, year and a half. And then the Jews were defeated again by the Romans. And this time the Roman Emperor said this, we're done with the Jews. They are terrorists. They are rebellious. They kill our people. We cannot live together with them. They have to be eradicated. Is it something that you hear today? Hamas got to be eradicated. I'm not for Hamas. I just said that it's a cry before. So what did the Romans do? They cleaned out Israel. Ethnic cleansing. Palestine was completely free of Jews. They simply forced them out. Many were killed. Others were sold as slaves. They were scattered all over. And from about 130 A.D. up to about 1400 A.D., there were no Jews in Israel. They were scattered. Now, the Kabbalists decided this, that we are going to establish Israel again. We are going to have it for our Messiah. Notice this now. The Kabbalistic teaching is the Messiah is not strong enough that he can come up and take control. They have to prepare for him. Notice now when Jesus is going to come back, he didn't ask his church, you got to prepare for me so I have something to come back to. When Jesus comes, he's going to drop right down on Mount Olives. He's going to split in half. And he's not going to ask anyone. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is going to take dominion. Jesus does not need anyone to prepare for his coming back. But the Kabbalistic Jews have to prepare because they say their Messiah cannot come unless they prepare the way. He's a weak Messiah. Well, the Bible calls him the Antichrist. And we know he's coming. So, in about 1300, 1400, Isaac Luria, a Kabbalistic teacher and rabbi, moved from Europe to Israel. He established himself around the Lake of Galilee in a village called Safed, S-A-F-E-D. And that is today the center of the Kabbalistic movement. So after that, there was trickling in of Jews, now they came back to Israel. And in 1666, there was maybe a few thousand Jews back in Israel. One of them was Sabbatai Zevi, a rabbi, and Nathan of Gaza, who was a prophet. And Sabbatai said, I am the Messiah. I have come to establish the kingdom of Israel. Most Jews at that time living in Europe and in Russia and in North Africa believed Sabbatai and accepted him as a Messiah. Well, the Turks that were controlling the area, the Ottoman Empire, they decided the Sultan, that's the name of the leadership, he decided this, I'm not going to abdicate. So Sabbatai was arrested and told, you have a choice. Convert to Islam or we cut your head off. Sabbatai said, no problem. Where do I sign up? And he converted to the faith of the Muslims. The Jews in Europe now got, when they heard the news, they got horrified. The Messiah becoming a Muslim? Nathan now, a slick prophet, said, wait a minute. Sabbatai has just made the atonement because the Kabbalah says, the more you sin, the more you serve God. And by converting to Islam, he has paid the ultimate price. There was a number of Jews that accepted that teaching. And they became known as Sabbateans. And they still exist in Europe today. The sect, these are, of course, you know, generations later. So Sabbatai, in 1666, proclaimed himself to be the Messiah. He converted to Islam. And Sabbatai died of old age. And he lived his life out. About 100 years after Sabbatai came Jacob Frank. He was a Jewish rabbi from Poland. And he was active about 1770. He was in the same group as the Rothschilds and as Adam Weishaupt with the Illuminati. And Jacob Frank said, I am the resurrected Sabbatai. I have been resurrected. And I am the Messiah. And he had a very bad theology. Kill everybody else. Well, Jacob Frank died of old age. And we're now coming up to about 1850. And about 1850, 1860, there was another movement among the Jews, a messianic movement. Theodor Herzl was a leader. And he simply said this, we have to establish Israel once again. Did he have a biblical mandate? No. Did he have a prophecy in the Bible? No. So Rothschild financed him. And in 1897, there was a first Zionist Congress. The first World Zionist Congress was held in Basel, Switzerland, in 1897. And it was about 600 to 700 Jewish leaders from all over, from America, from other places, that met. They met for several days. Now, I'm giving you these details because I want you to have something to take home here today to the start. When you had a Republican Party, they have a convention, or the Democrat part of a convention, they're going to elect a president. The convention meets, they discuss things, and they come up with a platform, which they then present and say, we have this platform, 25 points, and this is what we're going to do. Well, if you notice it, neither Democrat nor Republican ever follow the platform. That's just they do it, it means nothing. The Zionists in Switzerland, they had a document called the Protocol of the Zion, of the Elders of Zion. 25 points. And in these 25 points, they state exactly what they're going to do to establish Israel. The document was leaked, came out in 1905. Matter of fact, if you go on the internet, you can today read about the protocol of the Elders of Zion. The thing is this, we do know the document existed because in 1905, a copy, a translated copy, was placed at British Museum in London. It's still there. So we know that in 1905, there was a written copy in English that we have in British Museum. If you now take the document and read it, point one, two, three, and so on, and we are now living in 2023, you would say, wow, every point has been fulfilled. Every point of this declaration has been fulfilled. What you see around here today in the world. Moving up now in time. So now we take you up to about 1913. And we then had Jews had simply asked the British government if they would give them a resolution that they could have the land back. So we had that Balfour resolution or declaration, called Balfour Declaration. It was the British government that voted and simply said, we hereby authorize the Jews to go back to Palestine. At that time, Palestine was controlled by the Ottoman Empire. The British had no legal right to do that, but that's what they did. And the Balfour Declaration has been used as a document by the Zionist Jews and say, we are legally here because we got that declaration in 1913. Repeat the lie long enough, often enough, and people are going to say, we got the Balfour Declaration. They had no authority. They didn't even own Palestine at that time. It would be like we simply says, well, we're going to make a declaration that someone can go back into China and they can live there. We don't control China. We are not part there. But we make a declaration. So after that, in 1920, around 1920 now, the British and the French divided up the Middle East. Woodrow Wilson, the President of the United States, he came back to the United States and he tried to get the United States into a new organization called the League of Nations. And the senators and the representatives in Washington, D.C. said, we don't want to be part of an international organization. So Wilson stood there with egg on his face, and we didn't join him. In the meantime, England and France, they set up a committee. The Ottoman Empire now, they had been fighting on the side of the Germans. The Germans lost. So the Ottoman Empire lost. And now in Paris, the Middle East was divided into what we know today as different countries. Before, it was one area under the Ottoman Empire. They've been about 700 years. So that's how we got Saudi Arabia. We got Persia. Iran, Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, and Jordan. Palestine now did not become an independent nation. Only the rest did. Palestine was declared a mandate under the League of Nations. And England was gracious enough to say, we will administer Palestine. Convenient. So from 1920 to 1947, Palestine was a British mandate. Moving in a couple, I'm going to throw some stuff at you. I have written this down. If you go on our website, you've got all kind of different things. You're going to have to look it up. Because I'm working without any notes right now. So the Zionist organization, the World Zionist Organization, decided this after there was become a mandate. We need Jews down there. So they came over here to the United States and talked to the Jews and simply said, we want you to move to Israel to establish Israel again. American Jews says, we're not going. That's just a bunch of heap of stones. There's nothing there. We are established in America. We're living good. We're not going. So they went to England. They talked to the British Jews. We want you to go to Israel. And the British Jews says, we're not going. We are established in England. We got houses. We got factories, banks. We got everything. Why should we go to Israel? There's nothing there. So then they went to Germany and talked to German Jews. And the German Jews told them the same thing. Why should we go to Israel? We have banks here. We have all kind of industry. We are integrated in Germany. We are doing well. So the German Jews will not go. Neither the British or the American. So now the world Zionists, they went to Poland. And they went to Eastern European countries where they were poor Jews. And those are the Jews that immigrated to Palestine from 1920 and up to World War II. The world Zionists said, we can't build a nation. We need engineers. We need academics, teachers, industrialists. We need people that can make things happen. You got poor people down there, but they can't do anything. There's a book that came out about 1982-83. It's called The Transfer Agreement, written by an American Jew by the name of Black. And in the transfer agreement, for the first time, the Jews had to understand that Adolf Hitler was working with the World Zionist Organization. There was a special bank in Germany that was set up. And the agreement between Hitler and the Jewish Zionists was, we will make it hard here for the Jews, and we're going to make it hard so that they want to immigrate. So the setup was that the Jews had to go to this special bank in Germany, deposit. Now, these were the rich Jews that started doing that. The bankers, industrialists, engineers, teachers. They put the money in this bank. The bank transferred that to Israel. And the only way the German upper-class Jews could get the money out was to go to Israel. That was hidden. You might ask now, what about the concentration camps? The concentration camps were for the poor Jews. The rich, the educated Jews did not go to these camps. They either went to America or they went to Israel. This was hidden. It was not until about 1984-85, and it was a bombshell in the Jewish community in America. And there was a huge debate what the Zionists had done. They betrayed their own people in order to fulfill a dream of having an independent Israel again, to establish that. Now, we're coming up to, I'm not going to get into that, but we had the Haganah, the Ergin. These were two Jewish terrorist organizations, and they gave the British a lot of grief. And in 1947, after they had blown up the King David's Hotel King David in Jerusalem, the British government said, we're out of here. We can't handle these Jews. So they handed it over, this time to the United Nations. The League of Nations became the United Nations, and now Palestine was under United Nations about 47 to 48. there was enough Jews now, they had built up the military might and so on. So the world Zionists, actually, which are controlled, they are controlled by the world government, they demanded that the United States and the Soviet Union would recognize the State of Israel. Joseph Stalin, the butcher, and Harry Truman, American president, agreed and simply said, the moment you declare independence, we will in hours recognize you and establish diplomatic, what do you call it, relationships. So they did it in May 1948. Immediately, war broke out. The Arab League just pounded on Palestine. Well, the Soviet Union and the United States, they simply, Britain was not in on this. England and France were not in on this. They backed it up. We put in money, weapons, airplanes. They surplus after World War II. And the Jews beat the tar out of the Arabs. And that is how the nation of Israel was founded. So I take you now the foundation from the very beginning up to 1948. So ask yourself this now. Where is God in this? Did God commission the Jews to reestablish Israel? And their answer is no. There is no place in the Bible, Old Testament or New Testament, where it says that this is what is going to happen. Now, we're working with a Christian Zionist. So we had Schofield in the late 1800, early 1900s, we got the Schofield Bible, we got the rapture, and we got the teaching about Israel and so on. That was all part of it. So now, the church in America, and in England, and in part of Europe, simply said, Israel is back. Well, prophecy fulfilled. Jesus is coming. Very soon. Jesus is not coming very soon. The Antichrist is going to come first. According to the Bible, the Antichrist comes first. Then comes Jesus. So when somebody said Jesus can come back any time, that's not true. We have a timeline. What about the rapture? Well, the rapture was hatched by the Zionist organization. And they had a Jewish Jesuit priest in Chile back in about the late 1700s that had a vision of the rapture. And when he came back to Spain, that was circulated, and somebody translated that into English. A copy of that rapture teaching was given to a very influential pastor in London who read it and said, wow, the rapture! We're not going to go through the tribulation. And so he began to preach in England, and then he was brought over to the United States, and we had Schofield accepted it. Dallas Theological Seminary pushed it. The rapture was not even taught in American churches by 1880 up to 1900. Today, the rapture is a doctrine that is in every church. Repeat the lie long enough, often enough, and it becomes truth. we don't have a place. It's going to be a catching away, but not before the tribulation. So now we have Israel. They had the 1956 war, which Israel started to get more land. They beat the Egyptians and the Jordanians. Then we had the 1963 war, the 1967 war, the 1982 Lebanon war. And now we have this conflict, the war that goes on right now. Given you this information now, you might say, well, I've never heard this before. How do I know this? But all you have to do, go home today and start Google things, because in the early days before the Internet, I had to go to books, newspapers. I had to do a lot of research. Today, research has been done. Every subject is available on the Internet. Every subject, good or bad. Now, we're going to take you to Ezekiel chapter 37. And we're going to read that chapter now. And I'm going to start in Ezekiel 37, verse number 21. And say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, where they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. God will do this. I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel. One king shall be king to them all, and there shall be no more two nations, neither shall I be a divide of two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any other transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. Is that the situation in Israel today? Not at all. Israel has the biggest homosexual population in the world. And they are not saved. Not at all. But notice now verse 24. And David, my servant, shall be king over them. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. Who is David? That is King David. We have prophecies in the Bible that King David is going to come back. And here, God is telling Ezekiel, I'm going to bring them back. They're going to be saved. They're going to be cleansed. They're going to be a holy people. And King David is going to be resurrected and rule over them. Verse 24, and David my servant shall be king over them. They all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and to do them. And they shall dwell in the land I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. They shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children, forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Here is the crux. This is where you will find the truth now. This prophecy is aimed at the thousand-year kingdom. It will be at the thousand-year kingdom after the Antichrist, but Jesus has come back, that he will gather all the people, the tribes of Israel, and bring them into the land and set them up, and they will be cleansed, they will be saved, And King David now, who is in heaven, will come back with Jesus and all the other saints. I mean, when we come back, you're going to have Moses come back, David's come back, and all the prophets. There'll be a lot of old saints, people coming back, Old Testament. And Jesus is going to set up the kingdom of Israel here at the beginning of the thousand-year kingdom. Let's read on. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will place them and multiply them. And I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Notice now, no temple, there's no more sacrifice. The sanctuary. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. What a prophecy! This has not been fulfilled. And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel. Israel is not sanctified today. When my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. So here's a problem. The Christian Zionists have taken Ezekiel's chapter 37, 38, and 39 and apply them to time before the Antichrist. And if you do that, it's off. Because God did not bring the Jews back. They brought himself back. They did it under the leadership of the Maccabeans. They did it in 67 A.D. They did it in 130. They had tried to come back and set it up, and each time they have been smashed. Who is bringing the Jews into Israel today? The devil. Because the Antichrist could be Jewish. They're going to have a temple there. And the Antichrist is going to try to fulfill all prophecies. And he would try to bamboozle the whole world by saying, I am the Messiah. Look, the Jews are here. We got a temple here. Everything is here. It's a deception. This is probably the biggest deception that Satan ever pulled off. Do you understand what I told you? That the Zionists, the Jewish Zionists, worked with Adolf Hitler. They were hand to hand like this. And they worked for more than 10 years to get the German Jews out that they wanted. The engineers, the teachers, the educators, the bankers. It was a horrible deception. But you don't hear about that today. This guy Black, he published his book. I've read what was said in Jewish circles, and they were shocked, and they said, well, this is true, but let's just do this. Let's not talk about it. There's a spirit in this country right now. When it comes to Joe Biden, his son Hunter, let's not talk about it. There's nothing there to see. The laptop, all that was Russian disinformation. The same spirits of lying, covering up, and simply saying, oh, there's nothing here, just look over here. I want to take you to the next scripture right now, and which is in 2 Thessalonians. So turn to 2 Thessalonians with me. And I'm going to go to chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 7 through 13. Paul wrote this about maybe 1 or 2 years before he died, and Paul died about 65 A.D. Paul never saw Jerusalem destroyed. He never saw the temple destroyed. Have you read here from 2 Thessalonians 2, 7? For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. And who is that? Well, that's the Holy Spirit. Because the Antichrist is not going to be able to come unless the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way. What I'm doing today is I'm doing a death blow to the Zionist movement, the Christian Zionist and the Jewish Zionist movement. And everything I told you here can be backed up. Every incident I told you about can back it up. It's truth. But give it a few years, and this information will not be there. Do you realize that in China, some of you are born later, you were not around in 1989-90, you were not around. But in 1989-90, there was a huge uprising in China by students and workers. And there's a huge square in Beijing, the capital of China, called Tiananmen Square. And the students took that over, and they held that for about maybe a month. And every television network from around the world was in China. We saw that every day. And we were hoping that the communists would be kicked out like they were in Russia and Eastern Europe. And then, to the horror, we saw the Chinese army come in. They didn't use soldiers from Beijing area because they were relatives that were in the square. They took soldiers from outlying areas but had no relatives. And they moved the tanks in, and they squashed and killed and destroyed and cleaned them out. You go to China today and ask a Chinese guy, now this is about 33 years ago. And you ask someone about 30 years old, what about Tiananmen Square? What about it? Do you remember the massacre there? Never heard of it. That, according to what we have in the papers, there was no massacre. That was another disinformation from America to destroy the great communist organization. So, amnesia, can I use that term? The poor Chinese that are born after 1990, there's no records. They're gone. Records are still here in the West. But when you bring it up to the Chinese, oh, that's propaganda. Sir? Spirit of lies. Back down, we're going to read verse number 8. So what I'm telling you now is this. The information we heard here today will not exist maybe 15, 20 years from now. It will not exist. It would have been, what do you call it, sanitized. And then shall the wicked be revealed, which is Antichrist, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Let's read those verses slowly and get the message. Even him whose coming is after Satan with power, signs, and lying wonders. What is truth today? No one knows. On social media, you have this opinion, that opinion. Everybody got an opinion, and everybody said nobody knows. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Notice this verse here and there. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they had no love for the truth. Have you ever seen a man like Joe Biden lying through his teeth and simply smiling and saying, this is what it is, and he's a liar? I mean, the whole cabinet he has, the whole Democratic Party, is a bunch of liars. The problem is, we have a bunch of liars in the Republican Party. There's a lot of Republicans that do not really want to impeach Joe Biden. They're hesitating. Why? Because somebody bought them. There's always money behind. Verse 11 is a verse that you should shake in your boots. And for this cause, because man rejects truth, he shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. God said this. Okay, folks, if you want to believe lies, I am really going to deceive you. I will send you strong delusion. I will make you stupid, stupefied. You're going to believe every lie. I'm going to simply blind you. That's a threat. Most people don't understand that. There's going to be a blindness. And the church today is blinded. You got to support Israel. You got to bless Israel. We got to send money to Israel. We got to do that because God established them. No, God did not establish them. Satan did. And there's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble down the road. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. When was the last time you heard a preacher preach on this? They don't want to touch this because they are protecting a lie. God did not establish Israel in 1948. Satan did. At the thousand-year kingdom, when Jesus come back, he's going to establish Israel according to Ezekiel. Chapter 37, prophecy. So we are topsy-turvy right now because we are off more than 1,000 years in the prediction in the churches. Sad. Very few Baptist pastors, Pentecostal pastors, Mission Covenant churches, or whatever churches they are, would dare to do this because now you'll be called anti-Semitic. And if you're anti-Semitic, you know, how are you anti-Semitic? We don't know. Just smear him. Anti-Semitic. People are afraid of that. You lose jobs on that. What we see in this country right now is a rise-up of rebellion against the Zionists. They did not understand that there was a resentment in this country. They have been trying to destroy our universities and colleges for years, and now they're coming back to bite them. So we're in for a ride. The good news is this in verse number 13. But we are bound to give thanks all the way to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You that are here today in this chapel, you that are watching me, you have been chosen to hear the truth. You can do two things with it. You can simply say, that destroys my theology. That destroys everything I learned since I was a child in churches. There's a rapture. There's this and that. Or you can simply say, I'm not going to be sentimental. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. I am going to yield to the Bible, not a tradition. That's how you got to think. I want to take you now to Revelation. That's the book of Revelation, chapter 20. And I will show you the war that Ezekiel describes in chapters 38 and 39. It's the war, the last war, after the thousand-year kingdom. And we read this. Verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. At the thousand-year kingdom. You have in chapter 19, he tells how Jesus is coming back. He does not need anyone to prepare for him. When he comes back, it's going to be, he's just going to clean out. And you don't have to prepare for Jesus. The Antichrist, you've got to prepare for because he is weak. Jesus is God. And we don't need to prepare for him. We need to prepare ourselves to be right. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. After 1,000 years, the devil now comes out of his prison. He's been bound for 1,000 years. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to get them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Let me try to pull this together for you now. Ezekiel chapter 37, 38, and 39 is a description of the thousand-year kingdom. Revelation chapter 20 tells us that there'll be a final war, but there's no details. If you want to know the details of this war, read Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39. And there, God detailed to Ezekiel some 500 years prior to Jesus. And Ezekiel wrote it down, but he didn't understand it. It was not understood. And it was not really understood until the book of Revelation was given in 90 A.D. Without the book of Revelation, you can't really understand Ezekiel. And you cannot understand the war that they talk about in Revelation unless you read the book of Ezekiel. So if this is new for you, maybe this afternoon, you should simply say, I'm going to read this in Ezekiel again, and I'm going to read this here that Pastor John just preached about today in the book of Revelation. And find out how they correlate. What's going to happen to you and me? Well, there's no rapture. We said that for many years. And we got a tribulation coming. And I preached on that. How we have to live in the supernatural. And I mean in the supernatural. Not the little fussy stuff. We're going to have to be like the Israelites when they came out of Egypt. They got manna. They got quails. They got water. Supernatural. That's how we're going to live. So what we need to do now is this. We still can preach the gospel. We still have access to the internet. We can push right now. But when the Antichrist takes power, Christians will be kicked off the internet. Churches will be closed down. And we will not be able to do what we do today. So today is a day of action. Today we can do things. In the future, it will be closed for us. We are the generation before the coming of the Antichrist. God has entrusted the gospel to us. He's giving us, we are brave. We have no fear. We don't cow down. We don't simply comply. We simply said, thus says the Lord God Almighty, that's it. That settles it. That's how we got to be from this day on. This is a sermon that I had not prepared. I was going to do a little talking about it. And as I got up here, the Holy Spirit just turned me on and simply said, here's how you go. So my sermon for this week will be heard next week. But I think that today's message is a wake-up call to every believer in Christ. Let's get it right. Let's get the prophecies where they belong, not superimpose them what men have done. So you've been watching me today. And now, one thing I want to say. Do I hate Jewish people? No. Do I think it was wrong for Hamas to murder civilians in Israel? Yes. I believe it is wrong for anyone to murder any person. I believe it's wrong for the Chinese, what they are doing to the people from Mongolia. I think it's wrong, you know, what has been done. No one should be forced or killed or pushed around. That's wrong. I'm not condoning Hamas. That was wrong. We got to remember now, they are run by an ideology. And I don't have time to get into that today. But they believe that they are God's chosen people and we are the dogs. Let this sink in. Muslims believe that they are God's chosen people and all others are nothing but dogs to be killed. That's their theology. That's in the book of Quran. So that's what you're fighting. More people have been called, have been killed in the name of religion than any other cause. Look at the Roman Catholic Church. How many they killed over the years? In the name of God. So, we have our Bibles. Let's get together. Let's know where we are, what's happening, and let's begin to push the gospel. So, there's someone watching me today that's not saved. I just know that you're out there. And you are asking a question. I never heard Christianity like this before. Well, this is biblical Christianity I did today. And if you want to get saved, you can get saved and go to heaven instead of hell. And how do you get saved? By admitting you're a sinner. Ask God to forgive you. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That you died on the cross, paid for your sins, rose on the third day. And through his death and resurrection, you can be saved. Come on in, Jesus. Come on into my life and save me. and he will. Let me close here. The screen will change. Three crosses will come up. You will hear the voice of Pastor Charles saying, my friend, he will take 10 minutes and make sure that you understand what salvation is, and so that you can be saved and know that. And if you get saved today, would you contact us? I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to rejoice with you. I'd like to know that you got saved today. And to those of you that are Christians, some of you I might have blasted away. Some of you says, man, I never heard this before. It is true or he's crazy. Do your homework. Start investigating. And you will find what I told you today is the truth, nothing but the truth. And I pray that you will find the truth. God bless you. Here's Thomas.
Father God, thank you for the word today and the ability to search the scriptures and to understand what is really going on. And the Bible says many places, be not deceived. Take heed that no man deceive you. Many, many warnings about being deceived. Eve in the garden said, the serpent beguiled me. So we need to be vigilant. So help each person that's a truth seeker to be vigilant. And we lift up the situation in the world. The reality is this, that all humanity is under attack. And there's only one solution, and that's Jesus. So, Father God, we pray that the gospel will continue to go forth into the world. We know that it is, and we know that it will. So we lift up the gospel of Jesus. We pray for people to be able to have ears to hear. The gospel is there. It's reached the entire world. But you have to have ears to hear. And it's available. Readily available. So we pray that like Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. So we lift up the name of Jesus and we pray for the gospel to go forth to redeem as many as can be redeemed. We also thank you, Lord. In your word it says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That's a very deep subject. So help us to study, like it says in 2 Timothy. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you can't study if you're watching the boob tube. You got to take action. You can't build a house unless you start digging some ditches. So thank you, Father, for your blessing upon this word and this. We know it will go out on the internet, and we thank you that it will be prosperous in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to the weekly webcast of Pastor John S. Terrell. This message was entitled, Israel and the Promised Land. Hamas launched a surprise attack on October 7, 2023, and the majority of the people were aghast at the gruesome atrocities, and rightly so. But what happened next was strange, as Christian Zionists turned into cheerleaders for Israel. Not even God has taken that stance. Moses recorded a conditional promise in Deuteronomy that was predicated upon obedience and included a guarantee of eviction if they embraced idolatry. A walk down memory lane reveals how sorely the Israelites tested the Lord. God did not bring the Jews back in 1948. They brought themselves back with Satan's help. It was a mixture of Kabbalists, atheists, and Messiah deniers that founded the state of Israel. Yet Christian Zionists would have you unflinchingly support people that spit on Jesus. The church has been blinded by a lie. Ezekiel's prophecy says that Jesus will resurrect King David, cleanse the tribes of Israel, and these men and women will live in holiness. Don't be fooled by Satan's counterfeit. This message is available on CD and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1940. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can read insightful articles, watch or listen to a sermon broadcast, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to European American Evangelistic Crusades, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.